CliffCentral.com.
All right. Yep, here we are on a Thursday morning, me and Pumelele Mashiqo. And hopefully you are up and at 'em and ready to get this week off to an awesome ending as much as you got it off to a good start, right? I mean, that's what we're hoping. It's the 10th of November already. I mean, it's just frightening. Yeah, I know.
Hello, hi.
I know, and you're already getting those emails from people where they say, hi, I'm not in the office. Can you please contact me in January of 2023? And I'm like, really? You're already off?
I have received a couple of emails saying our December holiday schedule.
Yeah.
And I must say, I did side-eye them a little.
Oh, for sure.
I was just like...
No, come on.
Really?
Come on, guys.
Stop
really.
This.
Exactly. So, there's something crackling on your microphone. So, if Chomolemo...
Something crackling on my microphone.
Yeah, if Chomolemo and... Simpiwe can just have a look at it. Yeah, just take a look.
Okay.
So we can just figure out what's going on over there. It's like going pa, 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 every now and then. All right. So let's look at the U.S. election results.
Black Friday SMSs.
Oh, really? Already?
Well, that's what Tracy's getting. Black Friday. When is Black Friday? Simpiwe.
End of this month, right?
She can't see me. Oh. Hey.
Yeah, she says
it's Black. Going to be a man.
Black Friday SMSs, make it stop, make it go away. Ugh. You know, I know lots of people in America who've been complaining about election ads because they've been inundated with those for the last while, you know, and...
Yeah, but they were voting on Tuesday, so it's over now.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a crackle on the mic.
It's definitely your mic, and it's coming from your side, so we'll figure that out.
Okay, Simpu is going to figure it out, or she's going to change the microphone.
So speaking of elections, let's just take a look because, you know, America, despite being this first world country where everything works, they don't seem to be able to count their votes. It takes them much, much longer than South Africa or Bangladesh or, Afghanistan. I mean... Even third world
but
countries.
But they do also have a mail-in voting system, right? So they also have lots and lots and lots of people who don't go to the ballots, who just mail their votes in.
Why would you do that? I mean, apart from like the military who are stationed overseas.
Because you know what they don't get? They don't get a day off to vote like we do.
But they don't need it. I mean...
People have like... Three jobs in America.
Can I tell you something? I don't think there should be... We should make voting harder, not easier. And I'll tell you why. Your most motivated voters...
No.
Yes. Your most motivated voters in America need to be the ones who cast the ballots. I mean, they're talking about... Yes, Pumi. They talk about how...
No.
I say less people should vote, not more.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
The less people vote, so very similar to what we're having here at home, right? The less people vote, the less they are inclined to stick to the rules. So we have very few people showing up for the ballot now, less and less each time we vote. And guess what? We have more and more of service delivery protests. Basically, general mayhem out there because people feel
they make all these excuses for people, right? They're like, oh, people in America, you shouldn't have to have voter ID. This is what people are actually saying. You should be able to, you know, that woman from The View, Sunny Hostin or whatever her name is, she says on the show,
I don't know who the women from The View
are. Don't worry. I'll just give you the name and you can look her up if you care. But even if you don't, it doesn't matter. One of those crazy hens on The View. She goes, I had such trouble filling in my son's vote for him. She voted for her son and sent in a mail-in vote for him. Now, he's nothing wrong with him. He is around. He could have voted for himself. But she voted for him. I don't know if she even asked him. It's just the weirdest thing. Like, we would never... I can't vote on your behalf, Pumi. In America, they can do that. Yes. She voted for her son in a mail-in ballot. The good news is
we are going to have a whole chunk of conversation about the vote in America later this morning.
That's why I don't want to go into too much of it now. But safe to say that the Republicans thought they were going to have a red wave, and it turned out to be like this pathetic, it wasn't even a red swimming pool. It was like a red jacuzzi bath. That's all there is to it. It's just they've got lots to be embarrassed about anyway. So lots of people with plenty of technical advice here. A propaganda says turn the mic gain down and increase the fader level. You see, propaganda knows what he's talking about here. Gareth,
I have no idea what any of that stuff is. I just sit here.
On crack cocaine, you're making me side with Pumi, and you know how partisan I am against her. Everyone should be forced to vote. No, they shouldn't be. I don't believe that everyone should be forced to vote. I think that you should make voting, you should give people only, listen, I remember last time we had our vote. When was it? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? When did we have our last vote?
Last year. Which one? The national one?
National one. I stood in line for over an hour and a half. Remember? And Pumi, you went to the place and then they told you you were at the wrong place.
That was last year. Yeah. So that was last year, the municipal one, where I could only vote for the mayor and not for my councilman. You know, because you get...
Right, okay. Yeah, okay. So
the national one isn't so problematic, because the national one, as long as you are in the province...
Right, okay. But you are registered, you can vote
anywhere.
Listen, point is, it should be a difficult thing, because you got a lot of people who don't pay any attention to what the politicians are saying. They go along because they get the day off. They're not particularly motivated. We already have a problem in this country with so many people who are apathetic, right? You're not going to get them to suddenly vote by making it easier and easier and easier to vote. It's not going to bring these apathetic people. They don't care because the politicians give them no reason to care. And who could blame them? Who could blame them? I would rather have the more motivated people go to vote. That's what I think. Anyway, I mean, we're not going to get into this debate now. It's the beginning of the day, and we probably will get a headache if we do, right?
As it is, it's been a very, very long week, Gareth.
How so for you, Pums?
You know what I've been thinking a lot about? I think we need, like, mandatory counseling for South Africans. I think we've had enough trauma. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody could have at least 5 sessions with like a therapist?
I think it would be amazing. That's one of the reasons we do Beyond Madness, our podcast series with Prof Szabo, which everybody should be listening to, because they cover all the things from, you know, childhood trauma to drug addiction to violence to the anxiety and depression so many people suffer from, and they cover all of it. Look, a lot of the way they cover it isn't in a therapeutic way. They're actually just discussing it theoretically some of the time, or in terms of case studies.
Which is enough, right? Which is enough to get some people. Because remember, there was a time when the idea of anything to do with mental illness or like therapy or any of those things was like
taboo.
Especially
black men would never talk about this stuff, right? And white men, frankly, men wouldn't talk about it. You know? Like, I don't need to see a shrink. There's nothing wrong with me. That kind of thing, right?
So I think just even having a conversation, yes, here's the word, conversation, that opens it up for people, that this is a thing that you can do, starts the journey. Because I think
Well,
it's a lot being in this country. There's been a video making the rounds. I think it's Mcebo Dlamini, I think it is. And he was interviewed on one of the news stations a while ago. I've seen this video surface at least 5 times in the past 4 days of him saying, South Africa is a movie. It's just, you know, it's like the drama, the soapy.
Is it not Sihle Ngobese? Big Daddy Liberty.
No, it's not Sihle.
He was posting some stuff this week about how South Africa is the weirdest place in the world. And he put up like videos of Don't Touch Me on My Studio, which we were joking about last week. And Nene falling off his chair in the studio. And all of those things. And he's like, this is the funniest country to live in. But he was also being, you know, like critical.
I think it's a traumatic country to be living in. There's so many things that shock us every day. Shock us.
So what?
Every single day. That we don't even remember the things that shocked us on Sunday.
You're
like
right.
Like today's Thursday.
You're right. But what are you talking about specifically for this week? What do you mean?
This week.
Hmm. Why did you say this has been a long week?
So, Terry Peto. Hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Lotto Millions.
Yes. Yes. We covered that on Monday morning. That's absolutely scary. Because here's one of our proud exports, someone who we thought, well, you know, she's a great example of what we've got and how we can export. It turns out that she may have, again, allegedly had her hands in the cookie jar with the National Lottery and something to the tune of 25 odd million.
And it keeps being ratcheted up, that mm-hmm. story. And how one of the co-accused was on top billing with this multi-million rand house.
Yes.
Like, did you see that?
Crooks. I didn't watch top billing, but I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah, no, no. I didn't. I didn't even know that it was still a thing.
Is it back or – because I think Top Billing died like 4 years ago, didn't it? But anyway, I mean, this house was on Top Billing.
So, huge,
all right, Terry Peto, what else?
Terry Peto and obviously the Booths.
Yeah, the Booths, which we talked about yesterday with Mum Jane. She came in especially to give us the lowdown on Matthew and Sonia Booth.
The lowdown with the Booth. Mm-hmm. The Speaker of the Free State and the sex tape.
Ooh, this is such a good story. Well, it's not a good story. It's a terrible story. But apparently the Speaker of the Free
State. The
Hexit
story.
Yeah. The Speaker of the Free State Legislature had sex with some Nigerian dude. He filmed it and extorted money from her, right? That's the gist of that one.
That's the gist of that one. But it's, what? Like, nobody knew who this lady was. Outside of the Free State, we should have asked Lieto to come chat with us about her a couple of days ago. And now her fanny's all over the internet.
Well, she joins a long list. She joins a long list of politicians whose private parts have ended up on the internet. Who is it, that guy with the one arm from the Mpondo Sizwe veterans?
Kebi Mpatswe.
Remember, there's that tape of him.
Yay.
With some Makhosha.
So yesterday's story also with, again, we're always happy to hear of people being brought to the dock.
Sure.
25 million rand tender that was signed off for rail maintenance.
Sure.
And the executive who signed it off without anybody's knowledge, apparently, got 300. So the magic number is 300,000. 300,000 is what you pay to not get your like video sex all over the internet, or 300,000 is what you pay to get a 25 million rand tender from Transnet.
Let me ask you something. If someone tried to extort money from you, let's say some person who you trusted and you had sex with, and you know, maybe you didn't even trust them, you just had sex with them, and they threatened to then put this on the internet. You didn't know they were filming you, whatever. They threatened to put it on the internet. My modus operandi would be, go for it. I don't care.
Which is what the speaker did.
Good for her then, because you know that person's not going to – they're not going to stop. They're going to keep coming back for more, right? You'll say, have you destroyed the only copy of it? And they'll say, yes, of course I have. And then they haven't. And then they come to you like a month later after you've paid them the 300,000, And then they want another 300,000. And you're like, but I just paid you 300,000. This will carry on forever. So what you've got to do is you just got to say, ah, just put it on the internet. And you know what the worst is? You'll be embarrassed for a couple of days. You'll feel humiliated. You'll very quickly figure out who your real friends and who your real enemies are, because the enemies will gloat and mock, and the friends will say, you know what? We don't really care about that. It happens to people at a much lower level than the Speaker of the Free State Parliament. And then you'd move on with your life. I don't think it'll be there to destroy you forever. What do you think?
I don't know what I really don't know what kind of thing would be the kind of extortionist. But my whole thing is just never do things you would not want seen in public. That's it.
But just, pull me. I mean, like there is stuff.
Yeah, we have videos, Gareth, videos. In the age of the internet, it's been going on since. I mean, it's why we know the Kardashians, isn't it?
Yeah, but look how it worked out for the Kardashians and for Pamela Anderson and for Paris Hilton, and you know the people
You're not in America. This is not America.
So what do you think? I mean, is there any way that she could have done this better? Because she was already, did she know it was being filmed?
She seems to have been the person filming it.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Just
very complicated.
Cameras. Leave the cameras out of it, guys. Cameras, never do things with cameras.
Here's Tabo. He says, apparently it was a video call. The alleged Nigerian guy screen recorded the whole thing. So basically they didn't film each other. So it was like...
it was a video call. Even
it was a sex call. Now listen. People do this every day, Pumi. People are doing this. This is how people... we do the show virtually in the morning. People do virtual sex now. Don't sound so old. You know that the people...
Clearly, I am. Listen,
you know that the kids are doing this.
I knew that this... You know, when I saw the SMS, do you remember the SMSs asking for nudes by a certain senior government official?
Of course I do. It was a minister.
That's when I knew, that this is not for South Africans. Don't do this, guys. And we've had lots of this kind of thing here in South Africa, and it doesn't blow over because every time it gets brought back up, it doesn't blow over. Every time your name is mentioned, every time Malusi Kigaba's name is mentioned, it comes back up.
Tabo says exactly. Now, Tabo's with me on this one. People do this every day. It could have happened to anyone. And Ancient Ether agrees. That's so boring, Pumi. Sex calls are ordinary. It happens all the time.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm simply saying don't do it if you don't want to see it on the internet.
Sanele says, but why is her surname Sifuba? That doesn't help matters. Okay. But have you heard of revenge porn? It's really hectic, says Rusty. This is a thing, Pums.
It is.
I mean, you know, it's fine.
And this is exactly why. I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm simply saying if you don't want to see it on the internet, don't do it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to see it on the internet, don't do it.
Or if you're going to do it on the internet, charge for it. Do it as part of OnlyFans.
There's a whole site for it. There's a whole Pornhub site for
charge
it.
Charge people money.
What?
I just think you know.
all of that is the trauma that I am going through this week. I'm just like, we've been subjected to way too much.
Well,
way too much as Africans.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, also someone said that the Tammy Taylor nails woman from Real Housewives of Pretoria, which I admit, I told Rena in the office on Tuesday, I was forced to watch this. It was on Sunday night. So I finally saw an episode because, you know, Sipiwe has been on my case about how I've got to watch this show and a lot of people are talking about it. Plus, I was curious. I thought to myself, well, I grew up in Pretoria.
It's in your hood.
Maybe I
know. It's in your hood.
Right. I thought maybe I'd know one of these women. I don't know any of them. which I was disappointed by. I thought I'd know one or two of them. But the one who seems to be the protagonist, she seems to be the one who stirs all the shit, and she follows the script and does what the producers need when they want to create conflict, is this one, this blonde girl from Pretoria who started with her husband. They started Tammy Taylor Nails, right?
And so they are the master franchisee. So it's an international brand, Tammy Taylor Nails from America.
Okay. All right.
And they are the license holders, or used to be the license holders here in South Africa.
Right.
So everybody that has a Tammy Taylor establishment has to pay them the franchise fees.
Sure. Like if you open a Nando's, or if you open up a Colcaccio or whatever. Yeah, sure.
Hey, but
what?
This saga,
what
with this woman and her husband, has been going on for over a year with carte blanche.
What's the story? I'm not playing dumb. I don't know what this is.
Wow.
Are they crooks? Are they crooks?
A, her husband is a disbarred lawyer. Yep.
That's never a good thing. You know how hard you have to work in this country to get disbarred as a lawyer?
So all these, they have these contracts with all of the people who buy this, and it's an expensive franchise. The one person that they spoke to on carte blanche spent 3 million. She paid 3 million rand for her little store in Centurion, I think. And they seem to have forged all of the paperwork, the financials that she was shown in order to buy the store. And then they lied to her about how much the rent is at the shopping center, with a very specific clause that in between them transferring, because all the Tammy Taylor businesses are in their name, and then when you buy it, they transfer it into your name. Oh my goodness. So they lie to her about how much the rent is, with a very specific clause in the contract that says if you fall behind on any of the payments, then they have the right to repossess the store from you, basically.
Oh, wow. Ooh. So have they been taken on? I mean, are people suing them?
Yeah. So okay. That... only to find, but so then they've had all of that fight with South Africa, only to find that they actually don't even have the master license anymore from Tammy Taylor in the US. And all of the product that they sell in the store is all fake. They fake all the products. I'm just like,
Jesus.
So I wonder if this is going to make it into the storyline of The Real Housewives of Pretoria.
So there's something very dodgy going on. And Pums,
yay.
Does this, so when did they film Real Housewives of Pretoria? Because it might be too old now.
It has been filmed. Yeah. So they've, by the time we see it on air, I think they would have probably finished filming it, because they also have to have like the reunion show, you know, after the show has been out. But the Real Housewives, you got to watch Real Housewives. Got to watch Real Housewives. It's a window into the other part of the world that you can never believe exists. But wow. Now it makes me feel like all these rich women are scammers. Because what do they do? What do their husbands do?
Well,
almost all of them, you know, every time I watch that thing.
This is
like,
why I want to sit
there. Why is Sars not watching this?
I want to sit all these people down who want to be famous. And thankfully, the audience in this show are mostly smart enough to know why that's a dumb idea. I want to sit these people down and go, listen, honey, you so badly want to be on TV. Let take it from someone who's been on TV for, 25 years? I've been doing radio for 25 years. I know this environment. Let me explain to you what happens. You think it's great to be famous, but you're letting everyone into your life. And this goes for the Booths. This goes for Terry Petto, this goes for all of the stuff that we've discussed this morning, right? You want to be famous? Let me tell you what the upsides are, and then those you could probably see for yourself. And then I'll tell you about the downsides. Because the downsides of fame probably outweigh the upsides. Everybody's so hungry to be well known. But let me tell you, when you put yourself on TV like this, they're going to dig around. People are going to find things out. A lot of jealous people are going to come out of the woodwork. Suddenly, you're going to find yourself hating the decision. So, I mean, Kala says, the one lady, Rona, owns our kids' daycare, and her husband is the PE coach at my daughter's school. She can't show her face anymore. You see, this is what happens when you go on TV, is you think, you know, your life is great. I'll tell you what, be rich, don't be famous.
But if she owns the daycare, is she really a housewife?
Well, who knows how they cast these shows, but for God's sake, why would you ever want? I asked Simpiwe this the first time she brought the show up, and I know there's been a Real Housewives of Cape Town, a Real Housewives of Lagos, there's a Real Housewives of every place in the world now. Why would anyone with their head screwed on right want to be on this show? The undue attention that you will get from the tax authorities, from the, you know,
we clearly don't get enough attention from the tax authorities. None of these people do.
It's just unbelievable. It's really, here you are, you've got this great life. So all of these women, in the one episode that I managed to get through, and my God, was it like treading through a swamp. First of all, I haven't had spot breaks, you know, commercial breaks. I haven't had in my life for months, so I didn't know what that was. So I'm watching live TV, and I have to now sit through 5-6 minutes of commercials. And I'm thinking, why would brands want to be associated with this trashy show? And then the show itself is so goddamn slow, and it's these women bickering with each other. Now, obviously, I'm a guy. I don't understand that. When guys talk, they don't bicker about each other. They don't sit around the table asking each other, like, trick questions and saying nice things but meaning the opposite. Like, it's just not interesting to me at all, right? And I haven't been involved in conversations like that in years. So I found it very, very unentertaining. Then I get to the end of this, and I've seen is this. I've seen these mostly really pretty girls who wear too much makeup, but who have these great lives. Like, they have these walk-in closets, they have these swimming pools, they have these lives where all they have to do is go to gym, wake up when they want. They have no responsibilities. And I think, you've got it made, honey. You've got a wonderful, wonderful life here. You've married someone rich, or you've made some of your own money, or whatever you did, but now you are sitting pretty. You've got all the clothes you could possibly wear. I mean, half the episode was them choosing fucking outfits, which for a guy is the most boring thing you can ever imagine. And I think,
if they don't show it on reality TV, how can all the plebs, like, envy them? If they don't show it on reality TV, no, then nobody knows that's the love they have. And therefore, nobody can envy them.
If you are a wealthy person and you've become wealthy through righteous and hard work or through crooked means, just please do yourself a favor. Take my words as gospel. Shut up, close the doors of your house, and enjoy your life. Stop looking for the approval of the public. The public are not going to go, ooh, that's so great, I wish I was her. What they're going to do is they're going to start tearing at the edifice of what you've built, and they will reduce you to ashes sooner or later, and you will probably deserve it because you've looked for this attention from strangers. And it's the same on social media. Don't do it. And I'm not saying this stuff that you have to hide, but everyone puts up a front, and you can maintain that front if you're just rich and nobody knows who you are. Because it's mysterious. The minute you let people into your world, oh, dude, it's just so stupid. It's so destructive and dumb and self-aggrandizing and unnecessary. Silly, silly idiots. I watched this show and I could not believe that people would do this to themselves. I honestly couldn't.
Although I think for a lot of, and there are lots of really pretty girls on these shows, I think that's what it is. It's like this fame monster. Everybody just wants, they cannot bear the idea of being anonymous. People must know who they are.
Yeah. 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 I find it very odd. Maybe because I've had so much attention in my life for everything. Everything I say ends up on, you know, a headline. Everything. There was a time where I... No, I mean, it became impossible. You know, Pumi, you've stood by me in so many of these. I've known you for, what, 20 years. And you've seen it. You've seen it happen. I've never sought publicity. It's just come. And I never considered that a blessing. I always considered it a curse. Gareth Cliff says. Gareth Cliff is. You know, any time I said or did anything, it was a major story. And it just didn't. Eventually, it made me a little paranoid. I got over that. Now I'm at a point where I couldn't give a shit. But I'm looking for the opposite of what these... I'm looking for a life like theirs, where you have tons of money, but you're anonymous. They're looking for the opposite. It's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah, the thing that... And I must admit... I watch some of these episodes with genuine awe at how easily it is for some of these ladies to be so mundane, right? So it's just so easy for them to be so mundane.
They're such average people, yeah.
But also, I'm always watching, and again, this week has led me to... the realization that there are so many people who have made so much money mm-hmm. in such nefarious ways in this country.
Oh, yeah.
And as much as everybody says, oh, they hate corruption, oh, this country, this and that, I think a lot of South Africans actually... like a lot of these corrupt people.
Yes, yes.
You know, so some when them, they see it out there, they actually like it.
Well,
when
Pumi,
I think about, yeah.
Let me ask you this. So many of us must know these people. They don't live in a vacuum. These corrupt people live among us. And their friends and their family don't report them. They don't call them out. They don't say to them, how come you went from living... in a very average little house with maybe one or two bedrooms to this mansion. How did this happen to you?
They live out loud with their corruption.
Their uncle,
and I think so.
Their uncle suddenly has it. Their uncle suddenly has three sports cars, and they go, "Oh well, he's a very successful businessman." They don't ask any questions. That doesn't just happen, right? You don't just suddenly end up with a garage full of sports cars. What is wrong with people? Maybe you're right. Maybe people actually like this. They're attracted to the bad guy thing, you know, this slightly crooked. They like the idea of a gangster. It's very weird.
We're not asking. I'm often asking myself, how did these people get so rich? What did they do? What do they do to have all of this money? And why are we... watching an Andy Lempisana and Mamkize. Mm-hmm. Why are we watching them on TV when we know how they made this money? Why are we not, like, all of us shunning them?
Which politician was it? It's the one who hit that woman in the Cubana. He was on TV a while ago, and he was showing us around his house. Remember? He had this big, shiny house, and he had a closet full of, like, branded clothing and everything. You remember him? And then he ordered his servant around, and he was like, I don't dress myself. I get my servant to put out my clothes, yes. And then I point, and they take that stuff out of the cupboard for me or whatever. And then he doesn't even put his own shoes on. Like his butler or whatever it is puts his shoes on for him. He just sits there, and the butler like slips his shoe on, like you know when you're trying on shoes in a shoe store. I always thought,
you know what reality show I would love to see? I'd love to see the reality show of all these people when they get arrested given the orange overalls. And I'd like to follow them for a day in their life in jail.
They should call that show Bottom Billing. And then they should have, you know, like Top Billing is where you get to show off your wealth. And then Bottom Billing is when it gets repossessed by SARS or all the people you owe money, the people you've defrauded. You know, the lawyers who've come after you. That would be a fun show to watch. I agree. Let me change the subject because we've got to get some headlines in here this morning. Do you want to hear what's going on in the news? Are you very interested? Of course you are.
Okay.
I know. That's just
okay. That's, I'm gonna test you out with this one. Test you out if these news headlines are like.
All right. Well, the first one,
exciting.
This will interest you because you and I have spoken about this more than anyone else in the media. Prince Bonisi and company have said that the recent coronation of King Misuzulu was a waste of taxpayers' money. Publicly commenting for the first time since King Misuzulu was coronated at the Moses Mabhida Stadium in Durban on the 29th of October, three senior royal family members have slammed the historic ceremony as wasteful expenditure. They are all half-brothers of the late King Goodwill Zweletini. They stuck to their guns that King Misuzulu, they call him Prince Misuzulu, is not king. They insisted the royal family had deviated from the proud teachings of the late king and allowed itself to be infiltrated, hence they have no rightful king. There is no king. They insisted the royal house never properly met to select the next king, and the one on the throne is a product of a rushed process to fulfill certain nefarious objectives. We saw developments where taxpayers' money was wasted during an event at Moses Mabhida, and the president was in attendance, they said. It is annoying that a democratic government which has the support of the majority of the people can do this. A democratic government ignoring its own legislation on how a king should be identified has deprived the royal family of the right to pick one. This is unheard of, they said in a joint statement.
It's annoying that we're still listening to them.
So we should really just ignore these guys. Because who even knew they existed until King Goodwill Zweletini was dead, right? These people have the cheek to talk about how there's a waste of taxpayers' money, but they probably got a salary from the late King Goodwill Zweletini to just sit around in the background, or they were on the take, or they're just pissed off that they're not on the take. I mean, it's one of those things. But they worried about, suddenly they worried about taxpayers' money. I don't buy it. I don't buy
it. Who is reporting this?
There they are. Look at those you the know what half-brothers I did, of King Misuzulu.
You know what I did see 2 days ago? A four-page letter from Mangosuthu about, again, you know, because so many people have had so much to say about all sorts of things around the Moses Mabhida Stadium, especially the bit. I didn't get to watch it. I was at a funeral on that day. So I missed the whole thing. I only got to see some of the snippets. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I saw pictures the next day in the news.
There was a bit with the Anglican bishop, and this is what Prince Mangosuthu was writing about, because there's been some kind of same. I think it's Prince Mbonisi who was saying why was the Anglican bishop there? Is this some attempt at recolonizing?
Oh wow. Okay, that's interesting.
So Prince Mangosuthu wrote a letter, a statement that is 4 pages long, and in a way only he can do. You know how much flair he has for the English language.
Yeah.
Kind of dressed down everybody about how all of this was put together, and how this really, he got to put this whole thing together, and it's the first time really that we were able to put something of this nature together, and how proud he is of how the whole ceremony went down. I'm going to find it for you.
Good.
And send it
I'd
to
like
you.
Like to see that.
Prince Mangosuthu was so mad. He's good. So angry at all of these various people and what they have to say. Oh, but he writes so well.
No, he does. He's a very smart man who's educated and has had a long career in the public eye. He knows how to deal with these things. And he's also, I saw yesterday, oh my God, I turned on Sky News for 5 minutes because I wanted to see what the US election results were. And I hadn't watched all day, which tells you how I've fallen completely out of love with all of those things. I mean, I turned it on for 5 minutes, and there are stories about a nurse's strike in the NHS in England, which I don't care about. It's a story about someone threw an egg at King Charles, which I also don't care about, but it shows you how the world is just, it didn't hit him, it went past him, but still. I'm like, what kind of a world is this where we now throw eggs at each other rather than, you know, this would never have happened to the Queen or her father or anyone else. It's like society's become so dumb And so we're just monkeys. We're just monkeys. You look at the NHS strike with all these nurses. They're behaving like monkeys. You see the U.S. elections, and they can't count votes in Pennsylvania. It's going to take them 20 days, they say, to count votes in Pennsylvania. Why? It's these mail-in ballots. It's a whole lot of things. But 20 days. It doesn't take us 20 days to get our election results. It didn't take Florida.
Is that what they said? I did not see that. Yes. 20 days in Pennsylvania?
For them to
hand counting all the votes?
To actually certify the results. It's going to take that long. Now, that's ridiculous. Monkeys. I mean, it's madness. And I look at this and I'm like, I watched 5 minutes of TV and I switched it right off again. Am I the only one who feels this way?
I haven't watched live TV in a very long time. I think the last time I was watching live TV, so I watched live TV on the day when they had the traditional ceremony, the coronation of the king.
Mm-hmm.
So not the Moses Mabhida one.
Yeah.
I watched live TV on that day. I watched elections. I watched lots of
you love live elections. TV for elections. Yeah, sure. No, you do. But otherwise,
and I'm waiting to see the World Cup. I'm waiting to see, that will be my live TV experience, the World Cup. I'd love to see what that looks like in Qatar. It's been a very muted experience so far, I think. And we all know that Qatar bought
the
World Cup.
Yeah, we discussed this as well last Friday. And I think that's obvious, but I'll get into it again. I mean, we can complain all we like. I know I'm going to watch it. But that's it. You've just named the only three things that are worth maybe watching a little bit of on TV. This year, the most time I spent in front of the TV was either watching it's probably the Queen's
Everything
funeral.
Everything else.
The Queen's funeral.
And the Queen's funeral. Yeah, that's it. The Queen's funeral was
right?
Live TV.
Yeah.
I definitely had that on the whole day.
Absolutely.
In the background. I actually brought my little Apple TV device to the office.
Right.
I could have it in the background.
Oh, wow. Anyway. All right. Well, that's
what
all.
What else happens
that's
on
all
live TV? What else happens on live TV?
I don't know. People must tell us. It's people who watch it, because I don't see the reason to have it. Here's Cape Town's story. We always like these. They're going high tech against crime. They've got drones, cameras, and sensors that they're deploying.
I saw that.
The city of Cape Town is investing in tech solutions to keep residents safe, said the mayor. Together with drones and the city's expanding CCTV network, cameras will feed footage to Cyclops control rooms. It includes dash cams, automated number plate recognition technology, and a recently launched highway patrol unit. So they're going hard against the criminals in Cape Town, and it's about time. The city is forging ahead with its tech-led crime-fighting campaign. They're going to have drones monitoring hotspots, gunshot sensors, so they can pick up when gunshots are gone off by the sound. They pride themselves as Africa's tech capital in Cape Town, bolstered by foreign investment and the software and IT services sector growing. The city, described as the continent's Silicon Valley, is actively on a mission to attract international tech businesses and support startups that will lead to employment opportunities. So all of this is going on, and hopefully it has an effect on Cape Town's crime rate.
I am looking forward to see those statistics come out. I hope so too.
Yeah, who doesn't hope so? I mean, I wish we could do this in every city, because we need it in Joburg too, right? So then there's a big fuss being made of the Human Rights Commission that have given an ultimatum to the EFF and Julius Malema to retract their comments made at the Western Cape Conference. But I think this is a big storm in the teacup, because the EFF obviously are not going to apologize for anything. And the Human Rights Commission don't really have teeth, do they?
So when I saw the statement, the question on my mind was, they've already said this. Right? It's dead and gone. It's like in the wind.
Yeah, it's done its thing.
All the people who were there on the day who heard this speech, were they affected to act in that particular way? Is it really worth revisiting today to say, oh, you should never have said that? And hope it, well, today, I think Julius Malema is going to be on TV this morning on Newsroom Africa, I think, live on Newsroom Africa for an entire hour. So for the first time in a long time, he's not going to be holding court in his own boardroom as he does and calling all the journalists to his boardroom. He's actually going to be on TV. There you go, live TV. I don't know how many people are going to tune in.
But Pumi, unless we eventually have someone paying the price for actual hate speech, it's just going to be a theoretical discussion. You know, we had this discussion with AfriForum, who are appealing their hate speech case. We've discussed all of this before. And it's more blah, blah, and less action. So until we actually see someone going to jail for for malicious hate speech, then it's just really say what you want.
Yeah, it's after the fact. I think the thing for me is that after the fact, coming out to say on that day, I don't even remember that day. I don't even remember that day or the speech that he gave.
I never heard it. But I'll tell you what he said. So what he said was, I'm going to quote from him here. "You must never be scared to kill. A revolution demands that at some point there must be killing because the killing is part of a revolutionary act." That is just one of the statements that landed him in hot water with the Human Rights Commission. I mean, who's sitting around waiting for the South African Human Rights Commission to speak out about something?
So I think Julius Malema and what he says and all of the fines that they've had to pay are probably one of the biggest funders of AfriForum.
Probably. And it's a great way for them to get money. Because if Julius keeps on saying stupid stuff and you can get money out of him every time he says stupid stuff, that is a pipeline of serious income, right?
When is the next EFF conference?
Oh,
do you think
God.
Julius Malema is going to be the...
Well, I mean, if every time he opens his mouth, as you say, the people like AfriForum and maybe the Human Rights Commission, they start wringing their hands. They're like, this is great, because now we can make some more money out of this idiot. All right. Let's talk about the other headlines. There's one other one I want you to hear about this morning. Elon Musk has sold $4 billion of his Tesla shares. This is interesting. He sold another 19.5 million shares of the electric car maker. The news comes less than 2 weeks after he completed the $44 billion takeover of Twitter. Tesla's share price has fallen by more than 50%. So he's realizing the loss. Separately, Tesla is recalling just 40,000 of its vehicles. Ooh, that's bad. Because of a potential problem with the power steering. The reason for the latest sales, which took place last week, has not yet been disclosed. The latest sale brings the total value of Tesla shares sold by Mr. Musk to almost $20 billion. He sold $8.5 billion of the Tesla stock in April this year, another $7 billion in August. This is going to make everybody else who has shares in Tesla very nervous, right?
Do you think he's selling his shares to pay for his unwanted purchase of Twitter?
I think he did a share swap there already, so I don't think that really matters. But it is... You know, right now, stocks and shares are a disaster. I see that Bitcoin this morning is at $16,000, and we were complaining about $20,000. So everything...
Who else did I see? I also saw
everything
crypto
is just
somebody
shit.
Put out. They have frozen, one of these crypto sites, they have frozen their sales. Oh. Let me look for it. Crypto, Gareth, crypto.
No, it's a disaster.
I can't find it.
It's a disaster. Bitcoin is at $16,353 this morning. I'm not emotional. I just coughed. But I should be emotional because I own crypto. I've got some crypto, and I'm just devastated. I don't even want to look at my portfolio this morning. Someone brought it up yesterday, and I just said, just shut up. We don't want to talk about it.
Then
it's
you were
depressing.
Emotional.
Yeah, well, I definitely am now. Anyway. All right. Imagine selling good stock for bad stock, says Sanene. That's a good point. 4 years ago, Anthea Gardner warned us against crypto. Yeah, Tracy, maybe you're right. Listen, mea culpa as well. I do still think that there is the promise of decentralized investment, storage of value, all of that stuff. And I'm not going to turn away from this right now. I must say that all the big crypto bulls that I know have gone very quiet lately. They're all licking their wounds. But no one is sitting on more money right now than they had at the beginning of 2020. And it's because of all the things that have happened in the world since then. No one has got more money than you know. It's just, unless you were extremely, extremely rich at the start of this thing, and you don't really care if you lose
now, you're just rich.
Billion here or there. Now you're just rich. But the rest of us have all taken a knock. Show me a stock position that has given you massive returns and no losses. Show me a company that's just, you know, posted the most incredible results month after month after month. We're going into a recession, a global recession. There's no
doubt about it. All the finance houses here in South Africa, we've been watching their since announcements. We've been watching their since announcements. All the financiers, all the banks over the past 2.5 months, all their results have been spectacular, and they've given all those incredible bonuses to their executives. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. Remember, FNB First Rand came out and...
Well, that's because...
Spectacular results.
Yeah, no. Our banks take very few risks. And obviously in this country, they are very firmly positioned. They're a cartel. It's a cartel of banks, and they charge big fees. And none of them is better than the other when it comes to comparing the kind of money that they make. Some of them are positioning themselves as more or less innovative and more or less cool. It's all marketing. But really, they're all in a cartel, and they've got a stranglehold. So I'm not surprised they're doing okay. But other than them, can you name any of the companies that you and I invest in that anybody's watching the results of that have just gone like this over the last 2 years? Very, very few. Very few.
Over the last 2 years and over the last 10 months, I have no more investments. Every single kind of nest egg, because this is what inflation does. And you're right, we're going into a global recession. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next, now that the election cycle is over in the US, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 3 weeks over there. Because it's not just the UK that's in meltdown. It's not just, you know, sanctions against Russia. It is worldwide, and it's going to reverb all the way down here to South Africa. If you think that the price of cooking oil is the thing that has a lot of South Africans already kind of hyperventilating, the price of petrol has a lot of South Africans hyperventilating. Buckle up. It's going to get worse.
Right. We'll get into the U.S. election results in the next hour. It's the Burning Platform. It's something that everybody looks forward to every week. We've got Mighty Jamie joining us. We've also got Brooke Spector, who will be joining us. And we've got so many things locally and internationally to discuss. Plus, a little bit of a lesson on how it all works, because most South Africans are looking at this thing and going, why is there a governor, a senator, and a representative in certain election, you know, ballots this time around? Why is it that certain states are doing it, other states are not? Maybe you want to know how the whole system works, so I'll explain that too in the next hour. Stick around. CliffCentral.com, Thursday morning with me and Pumi. Okay. Do you want to say something, Pums?
They are matching pajamas for families that I wish I could show you. Can you see this picture?
Can wait. Just hold that right there. Matching pajamas for families. Is this what you're looking at?
This is said Woolworths for Christmas. Uh-huh. And I sent Kanego a picture of this last night to say, I think we need to get these. He's just sent me a one word answer. No.
Yeah. No, absolutely. There's no kid who will ever think that's cool. All right, when we come back, the Burning Platform. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.